I'm here with Beans on Toast.
Hello.
Tonight's the seventh show of the tour. How's it been so far?
Seven, that sounds about right. Yeah. yeah, it's been an absolute blast. I'm doing this tour with Skinny Lister, as you may well know. And so there's a lot more of us. It's like, I'm quite used to touring in by myself or sort of as a two piece. For me, we've got five piece band and Skinny are sort of six as well. So yeah, and there's a few extras. So it's good. It's like, you know, loads of personalities and everybody's sort of bun around. I've been touring with Skinny off and on for years, so I know them really well. It's kind of like family. So yeah, the shows have been beautiful. Because we can kind of up the venues a little bit as well with the kind of double bill thing. So played in a lot of new venues, which is always nice. So
yeah. Awesome. Kushti, the album, comes out on Friday, which is also your birthday.
Correct.
How excited are you?
Yeah, I am excited. It's a weird one with albums for me. By the time it actually comes out, I'm kind of over it, actually. I'm ready to start thinking about, well, I'm already thinking about the next one. It's quite a long process, the whole thing that goes up to it. Putting it out, it almost feels like the kind of, obviously the tour and that, but a sort of wrapping up of the process. But yeah, I'm really proud of the album. It's great touring with some of the musicians that I played it with. So again, that's a new thing for me, so that's been good. Yeah, excited.
Awesome. So with releasing the album every year on your birthday, how did you get to that idea? How did you get to that process?
I mean, it just kind of happened, really. I think the first time, when you start making music, you kind of rely on your friends and family to come to gigs. You know, there's not any reason why anybody else would come. Certainly, you know, when there was less sort of music on the internet back in the day. And then there's a point at which your friends aren't going to come forever, so they stop coming, and people that you've never met do start coming because they like the music. And I was like sitting on that fence for like when I put my first album out. So I was just like, and it was going to come out in December, so I was like, well, look, let's do it out on my birthday, and then I'll do a birthday party stroke album launch. And it was kind of like a sort of sneaky bums on seats kind of trick to make the album launch just a bit more padded out with my mates. And then a year later, another album was ready. So it was just like, well, let's just put it out on the same day again. And then by the third year, it kind of turned into a thing. And it's, without it being too planned, it sort of works out for lots of reasons. I mean, it keeps me touring. It means I can play festivals year in, year out, constantly on the road, kind of promoting it. And it also just feels like, it's like my natural output. It just feels like that's what, I've got a record a year in me, so.
Nice. So just building on that, has there ever been a year where you've gotten towards that period and suddenly gone, oh, I haven't got enough for the album?
Or... No, not really. I mean, I've not really, as much as it's a thing I do, if the songs weren't there or I didn't want to do it, then I wouldn't. With all of the stuff that I do, I've never forced anything. I do, I find songwriting quite an easy process and I guess, although I don't, I guess that kind of gives it a bit of a deadline by having the record there. But I've never sort of like, oh, I need another song for the album or whatever. Even, I'd almost be like, if there were six songs, I'd just put out an album of six songs, and just sort of do it that way. So yeah, I try not to, I think that's kind of almost like a dangerous path to walk down, start thinking I need this done or that. That's not how songs should be written. So yeah, so far it's been all right.
Just staying on Kushti, we've had about four tracks from it so far. One that really stands out to me is Jamie and Lily. Could you talk us through the story behind that?
Yeah, so it was from a gig I was doing in Brighton. I got an email from a girl called Jamie asking me to dedicate one of my songs, I'm Home When You Hold Me, to her girlfriend Lily. And I didn't really act on it. But a few weeks later, I got an email from Lily asking me to dedicate it to Jamie, and it was like, looking at the, I'd literally lay them down next to each other and be like, oh right, okay, they're kind of dedicating the song to each other, and it was so cute. And I did the gig and I did it, I said, this is from Jamie to Lily and Lily to Jamie, and they was right at the front of the gig and I had a little kiss and cuddle, and from that it kind of turned into this, we're really good friends now. Like, I met them that night and we kind of hung out, one's a teacher, one's a nurse, and just through that cute thing it kind of was like a key into, I've written so many love songs about people I love, but I never felt permission to write a song about someone else's love because I don't really know about it. I make passing comments in songs, but not from a like, I'm going to presume I know what other people do or how they act behind, alone. But because of that way it came about, I was like, this is like, it's cute. They obviously really like the song. I'll write them their own song. And, so I kind of made a lot of stuff up and, sort of celebrated the sort of teacher and nurses aspect from it. And it just keeps on giving now. I played it to them they loved it. And then at Glastonbury, I played at Glastonbury, and I started telling the story on stage, generally as I do before I play the song. And they were both there again, and they got up on stage at Glastonbury, and we're like dancing. And then someone sort of filmed that, and looking at that, I was like, wow, can we just, how far can we go? You know, so then I got in touch, can I come down and make a music video? And they, like, not even, you know, not even a metaphor, you know, they opened their door to me, and I was in their house, filming them dancing around the kitchen. And, you know, it's weird, because they're really thankful, and I'm like, look, everybody wins in this scenario. Yeah. You know, I got a song, a video, and a story all out of it. So, yeah, and it seems to have, a lot of people do talk about it, and it, from that, for me, and for the sort of writing side of things, I think I'll kind of definitely dip into that world of just guessing shit, you know, about other people. All my songwriting's always been very much how I feel about stuff. But people just sort of take into that song really well. And the idea that you can kind of create a window into a world that isn't necessarily yours is quite interesting for me now. So, yeah, it's definitely it's a grower.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, it's such a great story. So you just mentioned that you write about what you feel about, and you've never been afraid to talk about politics in your music. No. There was a lot of debate, especially last year when politics was everywhere with Brexit and with Trump. There was a lot of debate about how much a role politics should play in music. I was just wondering if you had any opinions on that.
Well, it doesn't have to play any role at all. You know, if you want to dance to disco, then, you know, that doesn't necessarily... shouldn't touch the sides, you know, but everything's political, really. You know, if you want to dance to disco, but there's no disco left because the guy that, you know, runs the town won't let discos happen, then the music's political, you know. And I'm sure disco went hand in hand with a political movement of its time. So, you know, I guess it's all and it's nothing. I think with my songs, because it's so clear what my songs are about, then it's not like, It's just like, this is a song about this, and this is how I feel about it. So then it kind of becomes political through that. But I think, you know, I think if that's what people want to say, then they should. But I don't think anybody should feel like they have to get involved in that debate, kind of through music or off stage. But it seems like, I don't know, what if you're not talking about that, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Okay, so in the past you've sung about your wife's cooking, but obviously on tour you don't have the access to that. There's a bit of an important theme at URN of the cultural phenomenon of the meal deal. So if I were to ask you for your ideal meal deal, what would be involved in the sandwich, the snack and the drink?
Oh, as in like a supermarket meal deal?
Yeah.
I'd probably go for like an egg and cress sandwich. And just a bottle of water. And then what is the other one? Crisps?
Yeah, crisps or a cake or a snack.
It would be crisps. It would probably be, if it was on the meal deal, probably, I think my favourite crisps are probably French fried Worcester sauce, but they never get kind of thrown into that sort of meal deal. Maybe squares?
Nice.
Sort of a square.
That's a good call. URN is now in full Christmas mode. What are your top Christmas tracks?
Top Christmas track, well, Fairy Tale in New York is kind of hands down. There's a Slow Club, have a song called Christmas TV, which is fantastic. What would be another? Christmas in Prison by John Prine, country song.
Nice. The tour takes you into the middle of December.
Mm-hmm.
The album's out on Friday.
Yeah.
What can we expect between now and the next Beans on Toast album at the end of next year?
More of the same, you know. It's just a kind of circle that goes round and round. So I'll do... I've actually got a lot on next year, but I probably can't really go into now because it's still in the kind of process. But I'll do a tour, a UK tour in the middle of the year, which will be slightly different. Like last year, I did the Down the Pub tour. Year before that, I did Small Town Celebration. So do something, a kind of quirky tour, kind of off the beaten track or whatever. That will happen in April, May. And then I'll be doing some stuff in the States and Europe and then festivals. And then I'll record another album, and then I'll come back on the road, and then maybe we and you will have this chat again next year. And I can tell you that I'm going to do the same thing. Next year is my 10th album, so I that feels like a cause for some kind of celebration. Yeah.
Thank you for your time. Really appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Make sure to follow Beans on Toast on social media, on Twitter and Facebook, and check out Kushti, which is out this Friday, the 1st of December.